Hello and welcome into another episode of the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. Always bringing you the best of the country music world like nobody else will tell it. Of course, my name is Garrett McKee. I'm one of your hosts, and right there is Mike Hart. Say hi to the folks, Mike Hart.
How's it going? Hope you guys are having a great start to the week here. If you're listening on Tuesday, but we're really excited about today's guest, Miles Miller. He's best known for drumming with Sturgill Simpson. But as we talk about on the show, he has been involved with a lot of really cool projects, not only with Sturgill, but kind of how Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson formed their relationship and how some of Tyler's records came to be. So he's got some cool stories and a great musician. So we're excited to share this one with you.
Lots of cool stuff. Yeah, lots of cool stuff for all of us big nerds out there to nerd out on, of course, as usual, as always with this podcast. But listeners of this podcast, all you music nerds out there that we love so much, you can get 15% off your entire order when you go to workmansrelief.com and load up on their high-quality CBD products. 15% off. Use the promo code HACCBD.
Coffee, the muscle cream, mm-hmm. I've been using a lot, and the CBD oil. A lot of good stuff. Go check them out. Cool merchandise, too. So cool 15% off anything from there. You got to give it a shot. And especially it's already, the coffee, man. I've been digging that coffee.
It's already so ridiculously cheap is what I'm trying to say. They the best quality CBD products and at a price that absolutely nobody else out there is going to beat. So go check that out. And as if it wasn't cheap enough already, you can also get 15% off your entire order. Use our promo code HACCBD. So yeah, without further ado, we are going to dive right into the podcast here. We're going to play you three songs that Miles has posted on his YouTube in the last little while. This first one, actually, the other two are covers. Still great, of course, but this first one is an original and that he did for the Kicking It on the Creek flood relief live stream just a few weeks ago, I guess now. And this one's titled Where Daniel Stood. And it's a little love letter to Kentucky. So hope you enjoy the tune, enjoy the podcast, and thanks so much for tuning in.
The blue skies at home, they're calling. I woke up in some other state that ain't my kind of place. I wish the ground I walked on were rolling hills of grass. I've gone there in my mind. I've been there in my past. I could feel it. I believe it does me good to travel down that lonesome road to stand where Daniel stood. I've crossed Atlantic's ocean, I've slept in but all the while I was dreaming of a place that's in my head. I wish the ground I walked on were rolling hills of grass. I've gone there in my mind. I've been there in my past. I could feel. Travel down that line. stand where Daniel stood. To stand where Daniel stood. To stand where Daniel stood. To stand where Daniel stood.
That was Where Daniel Stood, and Miles Miller is hanging out with us today, in parentheses, Sturgill Simpson's drummer, because every video that I've ever seen posted about Miles Miller has, in parentheses, Sturgill Simpson's drummer behind it. So
yes.
Miles Miller, in parentheses, Sturgill Simpson's drummer, is here hanging out with us tonight. So yeah, welcome into the show, Miles.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing it.
And Garrett's
this,
up there.
It says that.
Yeah, welcome in, Garrett.
It says that on my birth certificate too. Now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Miles Miller, Sturgill Simpson's drummer.
Does Sturgill make all of you guys legally change your names after you join the band? To
it might just be Miles me because he's got he knows Kentucky officials or whatever. So
oh,
he just
right.
Yeah,
that's who he get. That's who he gets roads named after him and stuff. Eh.
Exactly. Well, and actually that you mentioned that same day, it was Miles Miller Day in Woodford County or whatever, because of that, we graduated from the same high school. So, we had a fun day that day.
You stole your thunder a little bit with the road naming.
He did. That's all right. But I got my own day. So that works.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's pretty cool. So, I assume you're pretty excited too, because you know you're no stranger to podcasts. You have been on this guy named Joe Rogan's podcast, but you know I'm glad that I heard that Joe asked you to come on again just yourself, but you turned Joe down to come on tonight with us. So we appreciate you doing that. It's not the first time.
I heard that too.
It's not the first time that somebody's turned down Joe to come on ours. So
yeah, man, he just. Tough. I couldn't hang, man. It gets me too high, so I just gotta, gotta go the other way.
God, that was a great episode though, with all you guys on.
Does he really like every guest? He just like gets super high. Is that a real thing?
I wouldn't say every guest. It's definitely if you want to, you can. You have the option. So we might have, took that option. But who knows?
Before or after? I feel like doing it before would be both difficult, but also like make it that much more fun.
Well, yeah, because I don't want to give too much away.
No, you don't get in trouble.
Stuff, but yeah, right. But you almost it almost comes full circle. Sometimes if you get too high, you get sober. So it just comes back around. So it was almost. We were so high that it didn't do anything. I don't know.
Perfect.
Maybe it did. Oh. Yeah.
Science.
I don't think I've been that high, exactly. But I will try.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, give it a shot.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, let's
try it.
Let's talk about that first song, because I think everybody much like me and Mike were blown away to just see how damn talented you are. You've got such a great singing voice, and I mean, you play well. There is videos on the interwebs that have been posted before of you just sitting and playing. Mm-hmm. But it seems like lately, especially with the Kicking It on the Creek live stream, obviously a lot of people seen that, and so it kind of created that little bit of a buzz. And
yeah,
that one's actually an original. So kind of your love letter to Kentucky, I think you put in the post there. So I don't know if you want to tell us a bit about that tune, and just where did all that come from?
Yeah, that one. Thank you for the kind words, by the way. But yeah, that one, I'd messed with that one several years ago, and I don't consider myself a songwriter or anything like that. But I just write stuff down, and if I like it, I'll keep going. And sometimes I'll just sit back and like that one, I probably added a verse, you know, the other verse, there's only two, but like a year or so after, I mean, it took me forever. I just sit on stuff forever, but yeah, that one, I don't know. It was easy to write in a way too, at the same time, just because I wanted to, you know, not be hokey and just say the words Kentucky in a song and talk about how much, you know, I love the word Kentucky. You know, I wanted to say what it was about it. And that even now there's always this longing. I feel like any Kentuckian kind of has a longing to be back there, you know, and it probably drives a lot of other people crazy because I feel like we bring it up a lot, you know, but it's such a, you know, it's such a beautiful place. It really is. There's just something, it's not even about, it is about the landscape, but there's something more to it too. Just the sense of community and, you know, it is technically a commonwealth, you know, and that just, it's such a community feel and a mindset that's, you know, headed in the right direction, and at least in my viewpoint. But yeah, so I don't know. And it was a cool idea, I thought, to, you know, Daniel Boone, that's who Daniel is, I guess. And to act like, you know, the first time that he discovered or laid eyes on Kentucky, that's how beautiful is that, you know? So it's to see that again was kind of the mindset behind that.
Gotcha. Nice. Yeah. It's a beautiful song. Yeah. Like, I mean, you kind of said it there, but I mean, people who've listened to every episode of this podcast will get tired of me beating this one to death, but a lot of you guys do have a way. It's like you said, like you guys really have a way of describing the landscape in a way that makes me, and I guess now I have been in October there, we were down for just the weekend, but I haven't spent a lot of time in Kentucky, that's for sure. And what I did mm-hmm. see of Kentucky was mostly just the city there in Lexington and the interstate. But, you know, mm-hmm. listening to you guys not only just sing about it, but talk about it too, really makes me feel like I'm, you know, connected to a place. And, you know, obviously songwriters from other regions can do the same thing, but that's one of the cool things about it is you get to, even if you've never been there and experienced those types of things, you can learn about a place and really feel connected to it, even though you may not have any idea of what that's all about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because a lot of the times too, like, and even for me, for Canada, like before we traveled there, you kind of romanticize or think of it in one way, you know, or what it is, you know, for something that you've never been, and then go there and see. And some of the times it is that, and other times it's not, you know, in good ways, you know, yeah, and in bad ways for any place, but and in bad, you know, just like with anything, but yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I feel like Canada gets very easily stereotyped and drawn with one brush of the
brush. Yeah. It is
very, very vastly different from east to west. It's almost like north to south, the north to south like dynamic in the States, but except we go kind of east west, I guess, just kind of how the country is settled, I suppose. But I mean, there's that dynamic in the States too, but
true. But even I mean, to that point, like we did a big tour of Canada maybe 4 years ago, and we'd been to, you know, Toronto, I think, and you know, it's, which is a city's a city in my mind. I mean, it's just, you know,
Toronto's very Americanized too though. Like
right and there's that, and then so we'd been there, but then we started to go to like Quebec City or Montreal, you know, and then even like Saskatchewan and Alberta, you know, Alberta. Yeah. we were in Banff National Park, and that blew my freaking mind. I was just like, oh, beautiful, my God. Right? You know, it's amazing. And to not, like, you know, we think of the Rockies here as in, you know, Colorado and just that's it. It's like, you've never seen the Canadian Rockies. Like, oh my God. You know, so
definitely
beautiful.
That's I was just talking about this with my girlfriend the other day. Like, we're coming down there again in June for a music festival. And, so it's in Pineville, which is sort of, I guess, kind of the mountain, like Appalachian Mountains, kind of, is that, mm-hmm. am I right in saying mm-hmm. that? Anyway.
Yeah.
You're just saying like, cause like, obviously we've been to the Canadian Rockies a lot, cause we're like a couple hours away in Alberta here.
Oh, cool.
But so that's all I know for mountains, you know, when I think of the mountains, that's what I think of, but I'm excited to see like some different mountains, you know, cause they're not even close to the same thing really.
Right. They're a lot. I think they might be older.
Yeah, they are.
Some, you know, and there's a different vibe for knowing that too. Just thinking about, you know, those have been around and settled in for a long time, you know. There's a beauty about it, man. I mean, especially, you know, the music that comes from there. It's a beautiful place for sure.
Definitely.
By the way, you have to give me one of those hats. That's a good hat.
Yeah, we'll get you a hat.
I need one of those.
Definitely. We send all of our guests.
I mean, I'll take. Are they both logos?
Same thing.
Yeah, there's this one. And then there's that one.
I like the mesh back.
Yeah, we can
mesh
hook you
back
up.
Is my style.
You still got a bunch of those at your place, right, Mike? Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, you'll just mail one.
I have several.
Right on.
Cool.
Also, I got to apologize. I can feel like there's a little bit of a delay so I'm having to like wait to make sure you're done. So if it's at least on my end. I feel like it's just on my end.
Maybe. I noticed earlier when we first got on.
Sticks, so. If it's a little awkward with me like pausing, it's because of that. So I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I've got this. I've got some country ass Tennessee Wi-Fi, so that's probably not helping at all.
That's funny.
I was gonna say we're doing all this talking about Kentucky, and you're not even there. You're in Tennessee, which I don't really know the rivalry all that well, but I feel like those two states don't get along.
No. it depends on what it is, I guess. You know, I have to play nice down here, you know. But if like, you know, it's March Madness going on right now, so Kentucky's not in the tournament, but if I'm wearing Kentucky blue in a sea of burnt orange, I'm definitely the asshole around here. So you know, you gotta watch it sometimes.
Yeah.
But then that makes me
want to
just
man.
Wear it even more.
My reign of my reign of kind of all of our followers from Kentucky and friends from Kentucky, you know, obviously all of them are giant UK basketball fans. And I've had all season, I got to like kind of rub it in because Iowa's doing well. And then that finally came to an end today because we fucking won game.
Man.
Old Luca couldn't get you guys across.
I feel like it's attested to it. It was an 11 a.m. tip. You can't do an 11 a.m. tip. That's against on a Monday.
Who plays basketball at 11 a.m.?
Go out and play on that.
Yeah. I hear you, man. It's a weird tournament.
During my prep period of school. But yeah.
Exactly.
I think the seedings, just like with the weird season, there wasn't a lot of cross conference play. So I feel like the Big Ten was just severely overrated all year. And then like certain other conferences like the Pac-12 were like really underrated. So then all the seedings are just whack and there's all these upsets.
They are interesting. But well, and it's not a normal, it's not a normal, you know, where 15 seeds play two seeds kind of a thing. And then 14 and three, it's like 14s playing 11s and some interesting stuff. So yeah, there's some good stuff.
Not only the seeding in the weird season, but like the time off for all those guys. Like, I mean, that fucks with you big time. I don't care. And it really makes you, you know, it shows who was still in the gym when there was time off and who was kind of slacking a little bit. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's just been there's an asterisk beside this year for sure for everybody, you know.
Definitely.
Right.
But
so whoever ends up winning, asterisk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. Well, what might be cool for everybody to hear out there listening, because I'm sure a lot of them are curious, how far back do we want to go? I figured because –
Hey, man.
I mean, you met Sturgill through Dave Cobb, and Dave found you on YouTube shredding. Just on a YouTube video that you posted.
Shredding.
And like it just might, I don't know, it might be cool for some people out there who may not know kind of the story of how you kind of got, I guess, first of all, involved with Dave that led you to Sturgill, that led you, you know, obviously to these past like years or whatever it's been. So
happy to tell that story. I love it. I mean, it's been my whole life, you know. I always played music and stuff, but in high school, I got really into playing drum covers and stuff, and I'd put them on, film them, and I'd put them, you know, in iMovie, and I'd sync up the music, and I'd put them on YouTube and stuff like that. And it did that for a couple of years, and it really helped my playing, I thought, to be able to see it and hear it back. And I did a raconteur song, I get a message. This must have been like 2009. I get a message on MySpace of all places, because I wasn't on the Facebook or the Facebook train yet. It might have only been like a year old or something. I don't know. Get a message from this girl who worked for Dave or something like that, and was saying, you know, Dave Cobb, blah, 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 saw your stuff and wants to see you play or something like that. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just some stupid message, you know, not real. And, but then
your friends messing with you.
Yeah. Just something, you know, just like nowadays on Instagram, you know, it's just like, you know, all these bots, you know, just like, oh, come click on my page. Or I just thought that was that.
Right. Dave Cobb wants your social insurance number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, your social security. But I get that message. And then I actually social insurance. Yeah, I got you. Get that message and then reply back. And I show my dad, and he was like, yeah, you know, why not? And so they set up a meeting to go down to Nashville and play for him. Cause I think the idea was that Dave was getting, he wanted to produce this young band. So he was trying to find members of, you know, of a band and get a band together. And I go down there. I think I know the date. It was like October 9th, 2009, cause I'd never really been anywhere. so we drove down to Nashville and I set up my drums in this hotel convention center thing and played that song over some speakers and whatnot. And he was like, oh, that's great, man. It's really cool. And blah, blah, blah. And I didn't think anything of it. And I thought he didn't either. And so, you know, never heard anything really from him. Finished high school, go to college here in Nashville for a year, barely, and decided that wasn't cutting it. And so my drum teacher helped me get this gig in Colorado for this theater company for the summer of 2012. So I do that for 3 months. And at the end of the summer, I get a Facebook message from Dave Cobb. He's like, hey, give me a call. And I was like, okay, that's weird. You know, 3 years later.
Yeah.
And so I call him. And he was like, hey, man, I got this artist named, you know, Sturgill Simpson. He just finished his first record and we're trying to get a band together. And he's here and he wants to, you know, talk to you or whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. And Sturgill gets on the phone and he's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, just got one question for you. He's like, does Kyle Fannin still teach social studies at Woodford County High School? And I was like, well, yeah, I think he does, you know, pretty sure. And he's like, well, I graduated from there and so-and-so. And I was like, holy shit, man. Cause I graduated in 2011 and I think he graduated in 96 or something like that. So immediately that was bizarre, you know, to never know this guy and seem like I'm getting a gig, you know? So I moved to Nashville that fall and kind of bummed around on couches for a minute. And then officially kind of moved there in the winter of 13, 14, I think. And the rest is history, you know? So,
yeah, I'll say
that. It's pretty wild.
That is pretty wild.
God, it still blows my mind that, so you're 1 year older than me and I never had MySpace. So I don't know. Maybe you're. I was the cutoff.
That's what you took
that.
Away from that whole thing.
Well, that just means you are a little bit cooler than I was.
I was like MySpace. I never had that.
Mike didn't even listen.
Yeah,
to that. Yeah. You're just ahead of the MySpace. Time, I guess.
I think at the time it was on its way out for sure. So maybe I'll just say that to make myself feel better about having one then. But
I actually just got logged out of my Facebook today, and it told me when I logged back in that I had been on Facebook since 2008. So that's probably pretty accurate.
What?
Oh man, I hope your credit card information or your phone number is safe or some shit.
Damn. Yeah, no shit.
That's pretty good.
Facebook. I really should delete that thing and just like start a new one. Just to be safe. Or just like not do Facebook. That'd be handy too.
There's that. I actually got off and then I got back on just to do Facebook Marketplace to find some good deals here and there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, what would you do without Facebook Marketplace? I mean, Craigslist is dead.
Nothing.
You know?
Craigslist is trash. It's complete trash. I mean, with Facebook, you get a face, you know, and you can scope out if this is some bullshit or not.
Yeah, because there's always that one guy on there who's just like selling. You go look at his other ads and he's got like 37 other ads and it's all just fucking hot garbage.
it's just mm-hmm. nonsense.
Just a scam artist.
What's the what's the coolest thing you've ever gotten off of Marketplace?
Oh man.
Or have you ever gotten anything off of Marketplace?
Yeah, no, I bought some. So I found a truck through Facebook Marketplace. Oh, wow. That's my truck now. So I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh wow.
I'm trying to think. I found this really crazy ad on there for some tools. So I found this, I found a nail gun, but it was this ad for a warehouse where it's like kind of open box policy stuff where it's like nothing's wrong with it, but they just can't sell it because it's been, the box is damaged or something.
Yeah.
So I got this damn nail gun, this battery powered nail gun that's like comes in handy sometimes. For like $150 and retails for almost $300. So, you know, that's stuff like that, you know, tools and such.
Definitely.
That's good steal.
The truck though, it's been the best investment.
Most useful as well.
Was it a Bronco?
No, it was not a Bronco, but to add to that comment, I actually did. Sturgill did give me his Bronco for a couple of years there, and I had there's some Instagram proof of that Bronco. That it was pretty badass. It was a 1988 Bronco. God. And it was a loud piece of shit.
Beautiful.
but it was awesome. Cool.
On your team over there should make bumper stickers that only work if you own a Bronco. But a bumper sticker that just says "What the fuck rhymes with," and then you put it above where it says Bronco on your
truck. Oh wow! Yeah. Now you could actually do those, you know, because people are buying.
Only you have to have a Bronco.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The only catch, but yeah, they got the new Broncos out. So.
Yeah, and they're killing it too. I think they're pretty sweet. I might go broke getting one. Yeah,
they're definitely pretty cool.
Speaking of the song, what's your thoughts on Post Malone's cover of it last night?
Yeah, that was just last night.
I assume you did.
Well, I learned about I had no idea until this morning. Someone was like, "So did you hear about, you know, you can have the crown?" I was like, "No, what about what? What about it?" And he was like, "Fucking Post Malone saying it." I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." And dude, it's amazing. It might be better than any version we've ever played it live. I mean, it's fucking, man.
Yeah.
He's a giant ball of talent. He really is, man.
I
think he's awesome. I think he's really cool. And like he's done Nirvana songs too. Like his heart and soul is just with everything he does. Like he can get it, man. He really can.
There's a good video out there of him playing. It's a weird video, dude. I don't know where he is. He's in like some greasy club, like, and it's just like it looks like he was just in the club and somebody gave him a guitar and he's just like jamming out and he plays Santeria by Sublime.
Oh yeah.
That shit's pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen that one, and then there's another Nirvana song that he does. I can't. It's an acoustic one.
Guitar.
He's awesome.
Definitely.
What is it?
No, I can't think of the song either. Maybe comments. Well, I don't know, but he's got a. Yeah, but it's got like it's like a sequence acoustic guitar, something like really shiny guitar that he's playing, and the one I'm thinking right. of.
Yeah.
I think it's Come As You Are. I'm not sure.
Another follow up.
But yeah, that's wild. Dwight Yoakam's backing band with him too last night. That's pretty sweet. But,
yeah. Oh shit.
Wait, what now? That was Dwight Yoakam's backing band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, I have to look a little harder at that.
Yeah.
I know some of those dudes. That's funny. Damn.
Yeah, you better go have a look. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
So like somewhere in there, like kind of a piggyback question I had there. Well, not really. Well, it wasn't really a question, the first one, but to the timeline of you meeting Sturgill, meeting Dave, all the other stuff, like, so how did you meet or get to know Tyler's music? Was that before, cause I believe the story goes, you were the one who introduced Tyler's music to Sturgill, and that's how that he ended up producing Purgatory, so on and so forth. So, like, how did that play out? Did you know Tyler beforehand, or did you just kind of came across his music? Or
no, yeah, I came across his music somehow, and there was a CD that he did, I guess, at live at Red Barn Radio, which is a Lexington thing, and yeah, it was the what was the damn song? It was By the Banks of the River.
Rock, Salt, and Nails.
Rock, Salt, and Nails, yeah.
Rock, Salt.
And it floored me. I was just like, that's amazing, you know. So then I learned that he was playing a set at the original basement, you know, in Nashville, and went to go see it. And you know, I knew he had something, because whenever he was sound checking, I mean, the whole room got quiet. Like, it was like a pin, you know, you could hear a pin drop. It was amazing. He was just him and a guitar, you know, and that voice, obviously. And we after that, we sat outside and drank beers and became fast friends. And we just kept in touch a little bit, and I'd come see him play here and there. And then one day on the road, in the back lounge of the bus, where we hang out and partake in some things, I put on a Tyler song. I was like, dude, you got to check this guy out, man. He's, you know, it's the real deal. And he listened to it and he liked it, but we didn't, you know, think anything about it. And then, I think Tyler had already made kind of some demos or some sort of record or something. And, Sturgill had offered to do that. And from there, I was like, man, Tyler, we should do this, man. It'd be fucking sweet. And that ended up being Purgatory, and it was fucking sweet. That was one of my favorite records to make with anybody. It was such a great, you know, the crew that we had on that record was real deal musicians, you know?
Yeah. I'll say it. I'll definitely echo that and say it was pretty fucking sweet too.
Yeah, right. We can all agree.
And like, an album. That album will be remembered for a long time.
I think so. I mean, that's the thing too. I'm so lucky to be in the position that I'm in, because I'm a fan of Tyler and Sturgill too. You know, like I get to be a fan, you know, and have a part in some of their music sometimes. And it's great, man. It's inspiring. And the fact that they want me to do it sometimes, I played on his second record and stuff, and it's great. I love it all, man.
Yeah. No kidding. I mean, I guess
so.
I do
essentially
kind of,
what Miles is saying is that if it wasn't for him, then Purgatory wouldn't have been Purgatory. So,
no, well, I don't know about that. I think those, I mean, maybe not that actual record. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy to take all of the credit. I just passed along the great talent that Tyler already was, and those songs had already.
That's
been
what I just heard you loading. Say. All of the credit should go to you.
No. Those songs were floating around, and
put it on a T-shirt.
I created this. No, yeah, he was a genius long before. he ever met my dumb ass. So yeah.
Do you ever like, I do kind of have a follow up to that as far as like the broader scope of like your work and stuff, but I do kind of want to ask this for what's on the tip of my tongue. Like, do you ever stop, like even say, you know, maybe not even when you're off stage, but is there ever moments when, you know, I'm just thinking of like even you guys' Sound and Fury tour, what there was of it. Like, do you ever stop and does that shit ever come into perspective at any given moments? Like even when you're on stage, just like, or is there too much shit going on in your head where you're kind of, you've had, and this is going to kind of lead into one of my other topics, but like you've had your hands on some of the fucking best records that have come out in like the last 10 years in the country music genre. Like, I don't think that's absolutely not unfair to say. Does that ever kind of cross your mind and just kind of blow your mind a little bit? Like,
what do you? Well, like I said, I don't sit and think about, damn, I've been, you know, fuck yeah, go me. But
no, I don't. Like, that's not really what it'd be.
But like I said, though, I get to be a fan of that. It's cool, man, because I'm saying,
like.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, oh fuck yeah. Then without a doubt. I mean, there were some, I mean, we played like maybe 9 arena shows last year, you know, for the Sound and Fury tour. And we had never, we'd played some arenas opening up for people, but man, you know, having that and Tyler opening too. I mean, it was just, it was the top, man. It really was the top. And absolutely without a doubt, like the first show we played, which was in Birmingham, Alabama, was ridiculous. There was just so many thousands of people. And yeah, I mean, it's a nervous, I mean, you have to almost realize what's going on or you'll just crumble in a way. I mean, and you have to think it's cool. You know, it's just, cause it is, I mean, it's just fun. It's fucking cool. And, I've just been so lucky, man. I don't know. I've been extremely lucky that they want to keep having me for stuff, you know, that Sturgill's kept coming back to me and using me even on the bluegrass stuff, you know, he didn't need me and to be able to play that was fun. But yeah, I absolutely, especially now with a year of doing anything with that stuff. Yeah, there's been days where I wish and hope that I could go back in time and think more or better about it and whatnot. But like, I've made my peace with that also too, that's in the past, you know, the future is bright, I think. But just extremely lucky, man. That's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm. I totally feel you. But that kind of segues nicely into actually a question from one of our Patreon subscribers. For those listening, you can join for as little as $1, donate whatever you want and join the conversation a little bit more. But Trisha McCauley, when you mentioned
that's a fucking bargain,
like the,
that's a
the
bargain. Bluegrass,
yeah.
Right.
It is.
I thought so too.
That's what we thought.
Do it, folks.
But,
do it.
So when you mentioned that bluegrass, like you didn't feel like you necessarily needed you, but he invited you along with the project anyways. So Trisha asked, I'm going to paraphrase what she said, but obviously Sturgill has had so many different sounds and styles through your time with him. I guess she's asking what it's like just accommodating to the different stylistic changes. And how much does your tight connection come into play when you're working on those projects with Sturgill, with so many different, you know, obviously from Sound and Fury to the bluegrass projects to, you know, the older stuff.
Yeah.
That goes without saying what I'm trying to describe here.
Yeah, man, that's a great question. Cause I feel like that's my main job is to really capture where he's trying to go. There's a lot of times, man, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, to be honest, where it's frustrating. It really is because I'm, you know, we're all human beings and I'm trying to to do one thing, and he's such an artist, and it's so amazing to watch, because he just, everything else goes out the window but that exact moment or song or what it's about. And it's just, it's, even if it's 180, you know, it's, he goes 180, you know, it's not 175 degrees. It's a fucking 180 degrees, you know? and at this point, you know, it's been 9 years, I think, with him. I've finally learned, I mean, and I've known all along and done it, obviously, because he's, you know, he's the boss, but, I've learned to trust him no matter what, you know? And luckily too, you know, I'm not just a country drummer or a bluegrass drummer or a rock drummer. I mean, I love music. I love good music. You know, all music is soul music, you know, at the end of the day. So good music is good music. And I think that's the way with him too. Like, we listen to so much shit on the road and Chuck and Bobby do too, the other guys. Like, we throw so many things into the pile, and that's, and I think it's helpful too that he's from Kentucky, I'm from Kentucky, and Chuck and Bobby are from Detroit. So they've got their thing with Detroit, you know, and we've got this Kentucky thing. And it's, I mean, that's so bizarre, you know, Motown and bluegrass, you know, essentially. Yeah. It's like, it's, it makes all the sense in the world. But yeah, it's a good question, just because it's a never ending thing. But whenever, you know, it's so easy to get pigeonholed into one thing, and he's like, fuck that. You know, I like rock and roll too, man. So that's why we made Sound and Fury. And, and we, if we're going to do it, we're going to go all the fucking way. And we did, you know, and it keeps it interesting and fresh, you know, because that way we're not robots, you know, we're not playing the game. We're going out there, and it's different every single time, you know, and it keeps you alive, man. It really does. It keeps you alive.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No kidding. And I mean, well, you know what, maybe before we continue, we should just jump into the second song, and then we'll come back after the break and keep talking.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're going to play the second one, another YouTube classic, only available on YouTube. but we got another, not an original this time, but you cover in one, a Keith Whitley tune, I'm No Stranger to the Rain. I don't know if you want to introduce that one at all, and like maybe talk about your connection to that song, why you chose that one to cover and throw up on the interweb for all to see, but you
can
go ahead and do that.
I mean, well, just first of all, it's easy. I mean, if you're not, you know, if you don't know about Keith Whitley, you're not living right. he was just like the ultimate singer, you know, in some regards, and definitely one of the greatest country singers of all time and bluegrass singers. But that song is just a beautiful song. And, we could all probably relate with that song in the past year, just had the ups and downs of life and shit. So we've all been through some shit, and that song is what that's about. I would have to guess that's what it's about to me, at least. So easy to choose as far as topics. And I don't know. It's fucking Keith Whitley. Go look him up. You know, I would say your audience knows about some Keith Whitley.
I'm no stranger to the rain. I'm a friend of thunder. Friend, is it any wonder lightning strikes me? I fought with the devil, got down on his level, but I never gave in, so he gave upon me. I'm no stranger to the rain, but there'll always be tomorrow. I'll beg, steal, or borrow a little sunshine. I'll put this cloud behind me. That's how the man designed me. By the wind and dancing to keep. I'm no stranger to the rain. Oh no, I'm no stranger to rain.
So we're back. I don't know if I'll include that whole fiasco, but we'll see. That might be just some Patreon-only content.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
For the fine people who subscribe to the Patreon. Done, yeah, of course. I'll get the video for it.
I feel like someone's going to be watching it screaming Dick Daddy the whole time, like, guess a D!
Well, now you've spoiled it for anybody who hasn't watched it yet. So anyway.
Oh, man.
Now you've done it.
Damn it. I didn't even think of that.
I'll bleep it out. this kind of goes off of what we were talking about right there before the break. I guess a good kind of preface to what I'm about to kind of talk about is you've worked on some other artist records other than, you know, obviously just Sturgill's, like we mentioned, Tyler's, and also at least Discogs tells me Kelsey Walden's 2016 record. And I know recently, I'm pretty sure you were working with Town Mountain as well, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Both of those were, that's correct. Yeah, Town Mountain. I did their last record, their latest record with them.
New Freedom Blues.
New Freedom Blues a couple of years ago. Those are some of my favorite people on earth. I love all those guys, and they're just talented. They've been around for fucking ever, and they're what it's all about, you know. You probably know more of who I've played on than I know at this. I can't really remember. I mean, I would if you brought it up, but I can't, you know.
Well, Discogs didn't fail me that time, so thank you. Thank you. Yeah. This episode has been brought to you
pretty
by
good.
Discogs.
Yeah.
This was going to be kind of a question and then a follow-up question, but just given the way that we kind of this conversation ended up unfolding, I'm just going to try to lump it together into one big ass question. You can kind of do what you want. We'll do what you want with it. Like, obviously, for anybody who kind of like really follows us and nerds out about this type of music as much as we do, anybody out there listening who is like me will probably know that like your relationship with Sturgill is kind of more than just obviously a band member and a drummer, in the sense that like you have, at least from what I understand, like a little bit more of an input on the bigger picture than the average drummer, I guess I would say. So I guess maybe if you just want to first of all, just comment on that, I suppose. And then like my kind of the follow-up question to that, I guess, is, you know, working on some of those other records, like for example, Kelsey's and Town Mountains, and even Tyler's, for example, you know, what are kind of the different dynamics between when you're with Sturgill versus going in to take on other projects with these other artists who are also incredibly talented in their own right?
Mm-hmm. It's a solid question, man.
It's a big one.
It's great. No. so to your first part, yeah, it comes back to just being lucky, you know. For whatever reason, he feels like he can trust me to do, to come up with whatever I I want to come up with. But at the same time, that to me is what being a musician or an artist is all about. If it's true, you know, coming from a place that's your response or your viewpoint or perspective on something, even if it is drums or, you know, playing a fucking table. I mean, it, you know, make it you. And yeah, man, he's more than a boss to me for sure, because I was 18 or 19 whenever I started with him, but I feel like I was a really young 18 or 19, like pretty green to the world. And so he's a father figure in a way to me, man, and a brother and a friend, you know. And I've come to him for so many things, you know. It's more than just a working relationship too, you know. We talk all the time, and I'm and he kind of has that mindset for all of us and any musician that he wants to work with, you know. Cause that you, I feel like you can hear that, you know, that you can hear, other aspects all in one, but at the same time that credits his genius at the same time of being able to find people to trust, to do that and to have their go at it, you know? And, you'd have to, that's a question for him of why the hell he lets me do whatever I want to fucking do. But it is kind of that way sometimes, you know. He'll just come in with an idea or something, and we'll just bullshit until it sounds like, till he's like, yeah, hit record, you know.
Yeah.
Other times he's got a direction for something and we'll go with his, obviously, you know. It's, we all know our place, I think. And, it's, and to the other part of the question, it can be the same mindset for sure, but more of the latter of whatever artist I'm with, you know, they're the boss. But I think at this point too, I've built enough of a reputation, quote unquote, or whatever, you know, to where I'm not just a no one or whatever. I feel like some people know me or whatever. So if they're working with me, they have an idea of what I'm capable of or whatever, you know, so they don't mind if I do something or don't do something or ask me to do something or not. And like, I was doing a session today, you know, that the guy was kind of, he was a drummer as well. And I was like, I fucking love that. Like, please, you know, if it sucks, tell me it sucks, you know, like it's, you're not going to hurt my feelings, you know? So, and like the Town Mountain guys, like I've known those guys that they became friends first before me like working with them, you know? So it was cool to like get to actually do a record with them and have some sort of input sometimes. Is there a bluegrass band that I don't know if they've ever had drums on a record before, but they did on New Freedom Blues. And so that definitely was a little bit of a turn, but not really. I mean, to me, like, there's a stigma with drums and bluegrass where it's just like, ah, fuck that shit, you know, or whatever. But
damn, God, kids.
I mean, you get off my lawn, you know. But
I think you're right about that, though, because we did a podcast with Robert like, well, many moons ago now. That was probably about a year ago.
Geez.
He had said that was the first time that I think they had drums on any of their records.
Right.
I'm sure I'm saying that, but
yeah. I love Robert. Shout out Robert Greer. I love all those guys. Phil. Fucking Zach, Bobby, I love Jesse. I love all those guys. But yeah, I'm just lucky, man. I'm just lucky. I don't know. Whatever they like what I've done before. And that's the thing. Like, you don't know if it's good or not until it's printed and it's out, you know, it's out of your control. It's like, so, I'm super blessed, man, to be able to have people that care about my input for stuff, because whatever that means, you know.
Yeah, no, it's cool, and it's,
I gotcha.
That, like, I listening to that story, I can't help but feel like, you know, that factor of you being so young, I guess, when you first started playing with Sturgill, like, I'm sure that's kind of helped you gain that respect and that, you know, like you said, that reputation, I guess, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just helped to build
up. I swear to God, looking back on it, maybe it's just the way I look. I still have a baby face, you know, but like when I was 18 or 19,
you and me both, man.
Baby. Yeah, right. I mean, I had a baby face. So like, and I think that even that attests to how I acted or whatever. I just, you know, I was young, you know, so like, yeah. I didn't, so I was thrown into the wild of the music industry and, but in a cool realm though, it wasn't a superficial, you know, superficial realm. It was true and honest for good music and good songwriting and all that. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Totally makes sense. Thank
God for puberty. I just went through puberty about a year ago. It was awesome.
Nice. So I'm hoping I do the same here pretty soon.
Just finally got some arm hair. I mean, it's great. It's cool.
Cool.
It's really cool.
Wonder what that's like. I do want to quit.
Joe Rogan, then you hit puberty.
Yeah, look at that. That's
yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, that'll make a man out of anybody, man.
Might be something to that.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you about the bluegrass records, because like obviously those kind of just happened, you know, because of, you know, the raising the money and all that. But like, I guess, and don't get yourself in trouble, but was there plans to do something like that before, you know, obviously the whole Dick Daddy thing happened and that whole fundraiser and everything else? Was there kind of a like a master plan behind that, or that kind of just really genuinely just happened?
It kind of a little bit of both, maybe. I feel like, I mean, it was kind of inevitable, and I don't want to, of course, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I speak for myself.
Yeah.
No, but it's fine. I speak truthfully, mm-hmm. you know. So, but I think it's obvious with Sturgill that like he's a fucking, you know, he can sing the hell out of some country and bluegrass, you know.
Yeah.
It's just it's plain as day like that. So.
Yeah.
And that's the music that me and him have geeked over so many times, like, you know, just countless days and days and hours on end of, you know, just hanging out, listening to that shit and talking about it and stuff. So, I mean, that's what he, you know, that was his world, you know? To me, it seemed inevitable that it was a no brainer that he was like, yeah, let's do this. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, cool. Nice. I didn't even think I'd be a part of it or whatever, you know? So, but he was just like, yeah, you know, yeah, easy loving on the snare drum. I was like, well, fuck yeah, okay.
There you go.
So, and then I sang, you know, I sang some harmony on there too. So that mm-hmm. that probably might have been another reason for me being there. But yeah, I think it was a little bit of both, you know. But it made all the sense in the world to do it, you know.
Definitely. Well, Mike, do you think it's about that time?
I think it's time.
I think it's about that time. I'm getting real fucking bad at this because I never
just not briefing
people. I never tell the guest that this is gonna happen. So we do a segment every time. We call it rapid fires. We're just gonna ask you some silly shit if you don't mind.
I love it. This is great. But this is you guys have a very well run podcast, I have to say. These are excellent questions. Good hang. It's awesome.
Thank you. We also play Hangman in every single one also, so.
That's not true. Bro,
you should from now on.
Yeah, well, okay, all right. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, well, no. Yeah.
No, I think it's a decent podcast because we're complete nerds about this stuff, and every one of our listeners is great. Also complete nerds about this stuff, so.
Well, and you also, too, have a thing about, it's interesting knowing that you were from Canada, you know, and that's kind of the, I mean, you guys are our neighbors, but it's a different world, you know, it really is. And I think it's cool. It's a cool perspective of what you guys know, you know, and what like I said, what we think about each other, you know, so.
Yeah, for sure. We try to keep
it interesting. I'm actually from Iowa, so.
Yeah, he's from Iowa.
That's just his thing, but.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. There you go. Midwest, Canada kind of thing, you know. Speaking of, by the way, this is totally, same before difference. We do this rapid fire.
Yeah.
I hope you guys know about the show Letterkenny.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Well, see, you say
Dolly Parton sleep on her back.
Of course. Right. 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 Yeah. Exactly. No, but you say of course. But if I say that down here, like, you guys know Letterkenny, they're like, what? Nobody fucking like. No one knows about that shit. But that is a genius show. Shout out Letterkenny. Like,
no brainer. Crush. I'm gonna text you. Text you a video right now.
Smart humor too. Like.
Okay. Do it. Yeah. It's genius. It's absolute genius.
I'm texting you a video.
I have not seen the latest season that came out maybe last year, so I need to get back on. But I watched every single one up until the latest.
Pretty great.
Or so. But yeah.
The video I'm sending you right now is a video of Mike dancing. He's doing like the Letterkenny Dairy line dance at John R. Miller's show.
The talent show line dance. I learned it and I do it all the time.
So, dude, this is like
I taught it to Sierra Farrell. Yeah.
This is at the Burl in Lexington, and everybody's Burl. Like sitting down, like we're not up out of our seats, and he's like doing the fucking the Letterkenny dance.
Oh wow!
Does the leg kick too? Wait for that.
Oh man!
Is that the one where I'm like still up next to the table, or is that the one where I'm with Sierra?
No, that's where. You're dancing by the table.
Holy shit, dude, that leg kick was for real. That was high. That was higher than your head.
Hell yeah.
I practice that shit in the mirror, man.
That's pretty good. That's awesome. That's very well done. Well done. Well done. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm going to start it off here.
All right. Let's get into these rapids here. Garrett, you're starter.
I'll start it off with, should I ask them the one that I asked yesterday? Cause I don't know when that podcast is going to come out for a while now. I feel like I should, it's not rapid enough.
Okay.
All right. No, fuck it. You know what? Let's do it. We'll drag this one on. You get to go back in time with no objects. You get to take nothing with you. You get to go back in time, but you got to go further back than your own lifetime. You can't just go back to when you were little or something like that. So how will you prove to everyone else that you are from the future?
Oh man.
This is the least rapid question of any question ever.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you this. This is a super deep and peaceful answer.
All right.
My heart / mindset, because I feel like, you know, if you go back in the past, there's lots of shit that's happened in the past. So I feel like nowadays, hopefully people are realizing that we're all just human beings and we're spinning on a giant ball in the middle of a black, you know, eternal whatever the fuck.
Yes.
and we all have the same doom. A black hole, eternal whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And we all have the same doom. I don't know. Peace, you know.
I like that answer. I like that answer.
It's cheesy, but that was what I came up with, because there's no how would you prove? Well, I don't know. Fucking you know, no objects. That's kind of impossible.
Yeah.
It's tough. Check out my phone, dude.
Yeah. You know? No, you can't. And even if you did have the phone, they'd probably think you were a witch. So
I'd be
burned or something, but it depends on the time period of what you're telling me to go back to though, you know?
Yeah.
But in my mind, I went back to of what I know, like, you know, I feel like modern America became what it is in the early 1900s, you know, with the Industrial Revolution.
Reasonable.
And so from there, it's like, let's slow down, guys. Let's slow down.
Right. Right. That was a good answer. Glad I asked that one.
Yeah, it's great. It's fucking great.
I think I cracked the code last time, but I can't say it again because that'd be redundant. But, I'll tell you later. I think I got the right answer.
Yeah, tell me later.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that was the right and wrong answer.
I got a answer.
Okay.
I got a answer, but okay. I'm gonna lean on Patreon again here for a rapid fire, because there's some good ones in there today. So one that we ask a lot is like, what's your favorite like snack to get on the road from like gas stations? Before you answer that, Zach Little wants to know, hell, he's a Kentuckian. Ask if he's ever had Happy Mart or Double Quick pizza rolls.
Happy Mart. Happy Mart sounds more familiar to me.
He also says RIP to the Happy Mart, so I'm thinking it's no mas, but
maybe so. Gas station food, man, I've had it, but there has to come a time in every man's life where you quit that shit, and it gets the fucking best of you. And I've learned that maybe quicker just from the road life, because sometimes that's all you got, and so you're like, oh man, okay, I'll do something else. But no, I don't think I can think of pizza rolls from a gas station off the top of my head that I've ever had. I've certainly had some crazy fucking nachos and hot dogs and shit with some chili that doesn't look like it's real. But yeah.
Sketchy.
I'll tell you what though, this is random. Not random at all, but in Scotland.
Yeah.
It must be a gas station, because it would probably be like a, you guys have Tim Hortons, right? Up there. That's what.
Yeah, we have Tim's. They don't. It's kind of shitty.
No, right. Yeah. It's just like, it's like a Dunkin' Donuts down here. It's just kind of this.
Yeah. Same thing.
Coffee chain. Yeah. But to me, it seems like that's what this would have been over in Scotland and kind of the UK like that. But it was these sausage rolls. That's what they're called. But it's like, oh man, I don't know. I had like four.
Is it like meat in like a pastry, like a really flaky pastry?
Yes. It's like a croissant pastry.
Yeah,
kind of we
got
thing.
Those. Yeah.
Oh man. But this, I don't know what it was. It might've just been the day. Like we got to Scotland, I had the whole day off and I had this jet lagged, and we got some coffee and I was fucking hungry as hell. And I got one of these sausage rolls and it just hit the spot, man. I was like, holy shit. So I had like four of them, you know, nice. Just like,
naturally.
It's nothing special, but that might be the best gas station food I've ever had. Probably.
And they're not bad. You can get them in gas stations up here for sure.
Yeah. But. And it might've been, maybe it might've been, you know, Irish banger sausage kind of style, which is like, yeah. More a different kind of herbs and a little bit of sweeter kind of a thing. I don't know, man. It's real good. Real good.
It's possible. Shit. What am I gonna?
Yeah. Sorry. These aren't very rapid.
They're never rapid.
They're never rapid.
But they're great questions.
Never rapid.
It's a terrible name for the segment, really.
Yes, it is. We should come up with a different name.
It's just casually rapid fire.
Yeah.
casual fire.
Casual fire.
Casual fire. Exactly. Oh yeah. Can I get a cut from that? Because you're gonna use that. That's fine.
Yeah, definitely. All the podcast money that we make.
yeah, right.
We're not sorry, we're not like Rogan. I lied. But
hey, no.
in case you haven't figured that one out. All right. What are your pre-show rituals?
Oh man. I definitely warm up a little bit, with just like a practice pad just to get the blood flowing in my hands, yeah. You know, and, some stretching a little bit. Might've been this past tour seemed to be more of that than others, because a lot of them were just theaters or, you know, before that was clubs. So the ritual would have been a beer or two. So right. this time around was I mean, because there were some, this was a different tour, man. It was louder. It was bigger. It was more, you know, I didn't sing. I didn't have a mic on this past tour, because I was like, I got to focus on this drum shit, man. So it was some heavy stuff. So yeah, I definitely warmed up a little bit, stretched. That's kind of all that's about it really for me.
Right on.
Yeah. And also, and one thing that I don't think it's a secret, but it's a good tip of advice. Good piece of advice for anybody is that, is to not, and it's from Sturgill really that he gave me years ago, is just to never get excited. You know, don't get excited before you go out on stage and overdo something, you know.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You just keep it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing. Like, don't, because it's easy. It's so, I mean, how could you not get excited? Like, you know, playing to 20,000 people.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. Like 22,000 people. Yeah. Because that, to me, on that whole tour, that was like the top. That it, like, yeah, 22 fucking thousand people in your hometown, and you grew up in that, you know, that place, knowing that that was the biggest, you know. Yeah, it's easy to get excited. So, and but when it comes to work, you know, or doing, it's not even work, you know, it's just honing in on what the music's asking for, you know.
Yeah.
And that, maybe that's work to some people, but it's a soul sacrifice. As old Santana would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. Shout out to Santana, whoever it is.
Mike, you got another one?
All right. I'm going to recycle this one here because I think you'll have a good answer for it. Combine two animals that you will become. What two animals would you combine?
Oh man. Well, I've got an extremely long neck because I'm tall. So I'm a giraffe for sure. A giraffe. And fuck.
Gotta be careful. Like giraffes are already a crazy animal. Like what do you combine with that?
This is such a,
it already feels like that's two animals combined together.
This is such a dumb question, but I feel like it deserves every bit of my attention to get right. That's a fucking giraffe. And, man, I don't know, like a dog or something. I don't know if that's possible. Like a sweet giraffe, a super sweet giraffe.
Yeah.
A giraffe that plays fetch.
Like a house giraffe.
A house giraffe, yeah, a giraffe that'll sit and shake.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take that animal any day.
Makes sense. All right.
A dog giraffe.
A jerdog.
Hey, I mean, how's your dog doing?
I was going to say, it sounds like you're just saying, oh, Miles, how's your dog?
How's your dog, man? Oh, he's good. Yeah.
Okay, my last one is, what is your favorite flavor of chicken wings?
Oh, man, I had some chicken wings yesterday, but this is so lame. But I used to work at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Nice.
So, and it's, I like hot wings and stuff, but my favorite flavor is Parmesan garlic. Mm. I love garlicky kind of wings.
I love that flavor.
They got a spicy garlic too. But yeah, I have to say garlic, anything garlic, I'm a big fan of, man.
All for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Noted garlic guy.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I guess that means I have to do one too, and I'll do an easier one than the last one. but we're all drinking some sort of bourbon right now. So Mark was curious about bourbon. I'm not going to ask his exact question, but what's your favorite bourbon? And I guess like he said he thinks it's Woodford Reserve. But like, is there like the best bourbon you've ever had out there? You know,
I mean, that's, you know, that's, I'm not as much as a connoisseur as I probably could be, but I mean, yeah, like it's, I'm pretty biased because I'm more proud of it too. Just being from Woodford County, County. It's a beautiful bourbon. It's a great bourbon. It's really oaky. I mean, to me, it's kind of the quintessential sipping bourbon. It's one of those bourbons that you don't, it's a bourbon that you just drink with just bourbon, you know?
Yeah.
You can mix it too, of course. You can do, there's
the
no
old,
fucking
the
rules,
old bourbon but. And bourbon.
Yeah, the old bourbon and bourbon. Yeah.
There's no fucking rules.
Yeah, there's no rule. But to me, yeah, I love Woodford. I really do. But also, I mean, God, it's such a stupid, not stupid, but it's probably a stereotypical answer, but it's Pappy Van Winkle, which is some serious bourbon. It's I mean, they've got like a 12-year aged, you know, it's high dollar stuff. That's probably a very typical answer for stuff for many people, but it's hard to beat, man. It's like at the end of the day, you can only be such a snob about it, but like, you know, good taste and stuff. Good taste.
You like
and
what
stuff.
You like. Yep.
You like what you like, man. I like a lot too. I mean, I could name a lot, you know. There's Woodford, double oaked Woodford though too is another thing, which is it's put through the barrel one more time. I don't know if it's a whole year, but it's put through the barrel one more time. So it's a super smooth, you know, Woodford's very oaky in general, but this is a super smooth oak, darker in color kind of bourbon. Yeah. Fuck. Beauty. I love it all. I'll fucking drink any bourbon.
Like, yeah.
You know, it didn't matter.
Fair enough. I'll
have to look up what I took out of the cupboard up there, because I think it's pretty fancy shit. It looked fancy, and it looked tastes fancy. Really good.
No,
I don't even know what it's called.
I gotta know. Eagle Rare, man. That's probably what it is.
It probably. Here, I'll text Rachel out there.
Yeah, Eagle Rare is top notch for sure.
Find out. Well, you made it through the rapid
fires. That sounds
right. I guess I guess we can start to wrap things up. I guess probably the question that everybody's going to be wondering now that they've heard, if they hadn't heard already, heard you saying and playing, is there any plans at all for you to release music of your own at any point, or is that something that you know maybe down the road or whatever? Is that something that interests you at all?
Yeah, you know, I'll be very simple with this because I think I have to be kind of careful.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's kind of a touchy subject
for other reasons, but absolutely. So I'll leave it up to the air for that. But yeah, there will be some Miles Miller, whatever the fuck that is. Yeah, absolutely.
Right on. Good to know.
Yeah,
everybody will be looking forward to that when we don't have to.
I mean, the response to what you've put out is good. You know.
That's amazing.
People are going nuts a little bit.
That's cool. I mean, I started playing and singing before drums, you know, but and always wrote and stuff, but but drums they got me somehow, you know. But yeah, it's fun to this whole crazy year, of course, has made me seek out other stuff, because sometimes it's not very fun to play drums by yourself unless you're just playing to songs, you know, like, and of the songs that I've played to for thousands of fucking times, and I'm just like, what, all right, am I making any progress here, you know, or am I just, so I reverted back to some old stuff. Right. Yeah, I'm real happy that people seem to care about it, and one day there will be a Miles Miller record for sure.
Good to know. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Breaking news. Yeah.
Breaking news.
Take well, that, shit, Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right.
Just kidding, Joe. You're welcome on the podcast anytime. Well, I guess we can wrap this thing up, man. This has been a blast talking to you. I really appreciate you doing this. And
yeah,
sure everybody
likewise,
out there will appreciate hearing the stories. And yeah. All the great stuff that you shared with us. So thanks so much for doing it. And
I appreciate it, man. I'll come on anytime and play Hangman or whatever else the fuck you want me to do. Drink bourbon and talk about shit. I'm all about it, man.
We'll come up with a better game to play next time, maybe, than Hangman. I think we could do better. I really do. But
it's all good. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
We could definitely
talk about my heart and soul into Hangman here. Yeah. Yeah. It took me seconds to come up with the words. You know, I see y'all are gonna make fun of it. Okay.
Gee, man. It's a labor of love.
Oh man. Yeah, there you go. All right, well,
but yes, thank you, Miles. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah. Generally this same, is part man, of the episode same. where we plug the socials and the website for people to go buy your music, but obviously go buy Sturgill's music and then that, you know.
Sure,
or,
yeah.
You know, or whatever. Well, you absolutely. Know what? I guess go buy Sturgill's merch right now on his website because I believe it's still up. It was the other day. The two t-shirt designs, I think there was, that are all of the proceeds are going to flood relief in Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah. So. I'm not sure if they're still up. Hopefully they are. If they are, you know, please go to Sturgill's website and buy a shirt and help out the people of Eastern Kentucky who have really been hurt by these floods, man. I mean, I actually went up there to help unload a box truck full of water and bed sheets and microwaves and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a lot of people need help. So, and there, I think there should be on my Instagram too, if you want to go to there and my bio, there's a GoFundMe page where you can donate anything and help out people.
Perfect.
Up there. So yeah, help out anyway. Yes, sir. You can
do that. Thank you. Good. Glad we got that in there. We're going to close things out today with, last song from the YouTube specials here. This one is a Don Williams cover and the song is Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good. This one is obviously performed by our guest today, Miles Miller. Like you said, go help out if you can for flood relief in Eastern Kentucky. Thank you all so much for tuning into the show today. Go give Miles a follow on all the social medias. Go listen to Sturgill's music if for some reason you've been living under a rock and have missed out on
that.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Do all that. Yeah. But thanks for tuning in, everybody. And Mike and I will catch you next time.
I'm feeling empty and misunderstood. I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should. But Lord, I hope this day is good. Lord, have you forgotten me? I've been praying to you faithfully. I'm not saying I'm a righteous man, but Lord, I hope you understand. I don't need fortune, no, I don't need fame. Send down thunder, Lord, send down the rain. But when you're planning how it's gonna be, just plan a good day. I should be thankful, Lord, I know I should, but Lord, I hope this day is good. Lord, I hope this day is good.
All right, there was Lord, I Hope This Day Is Good, Miles Miller. Of course, that is a Don Williams cover. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. Like I said in the intro, 15% off your entire order at workmansrelief.com using the promo code HACCBD. And when you're done over there, you need to go subscribe to our Patreon for as little as $1. You yourself can have opportunities to get a shout out on the podcast and ask your questions to our guests. You'll also know, of course, who's coming on the show in advance, and you'll pretty much know literally everything else that we're doing, whether it means shooting videos or, you know, anything else silly that we do.
Yeah.
And you also get to kind of give us your input on who we should try to get on the show, who we should shoot a video with, you know, all that shit. That's where our community's at, is over there on Patreon. Right. And you guys should go join. You can customize your pledge every month, but you can join for as little as $1. So go ahead and do that. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, we love the community that we've built. Well, not that we've built, but that exists around the music, and then our community as well. And this is just a great way for everybody to get involved and see what's going on and give input. And we love to hear it. And, you know, the little guys who are in your hometown that you want us to listen to, we'll do that. And we kind of get lost in the notifications sometimes on social media. So this is just a direct, tight little community that we have in here. We're trying to grow it out. So that's why we lowered it to, you can join for a buck and you're in. We want to hear what you got to say and be a part of what we're doing. So yeah, go join that Patreon for sure. Really looking forward to seeing new faces in there and hearing what you have to say. But,
and of course you can donate more if you'd like.
I guess get,
because
you can always donate more.
You can always donate more if you'd like.
We're always trying to upgrade and give you guys better products and better quality and
all that good stuff. Go to thehippiesandcowboys.com and buy a t-shirt.
You know,
that also helps.
Yeah, you can do that also. Or hats. Well, I mean, this is a Sturgill Simpson episode, so buy a damn t-shirt. You know, is that what he said in that live stream?
Yeah.
Buy a t-shirt.
Anyway,
something along those lines. So, but yeah, we do appreciate all your support, and we love what we do here, and we love everybody else being a part and helping out. So thank you, and thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Hippies and Cowboys podcast, and we will catch you next time.